From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. Today, we welcome Tracy Stanhoff, president of the American Indian Chamber of Commerce of California and founder of AdPro. A former tribal chair, she's dedicated to uplifting Native entrepreneurs through education and opportunity. Tracy joins us to preview the American Indian Expo, taking place July 13th through the 15th at Rancho Mirage, California, a celebration of Indigenous business, culture, and community empowerment. Indigenous in the News starts now. I'm Larry Kay, and joining us from our Miami studios, Gary Wilcox. How you doing today, Gary?
Doing just great, Larry. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well. Right over here in Bradenton, Florida. Good to hear from you.
Today we have Tracy Stanhoff. I want to welcome her to the show. Tracy, hello. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Yes, yes. I met your colleague Sherry over at the Gaming Association, so I was happy to hook up with you both. Good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yes. Sherry's an awesome force, I'll tell you that.
Right on. Yeah, she's a go-getter. Good talker, too. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Tracy, can you tell us about the history and the founding of the American Indian Chamber of Commerce in California?
Sure. We were one of the first groups. I think the first chamber, American Indian Chamber, that was formed was in actually Minnesota. And we came on board and formed ours shortly after that. We formed it in a small group in the L.A. area. We had our first meeting at one of our prospective members, because we weren't members at the time because we hadn't formed it. But our founding membership meeting was in 1994. And then we were formally incorporated as a 501c6 business association shortly after in 1995. And we've been rocking and rolling since then. This is our 30th anniversary year. And we're very, very thankful that we're able to have this organization that created a community of business owners and a business association where there once was none in California.
Nice, nice. Now, how long have you been with the chamber and been in charge?
Probably from the beginning. There was a group of three of us that formed it, two gentlemen and myself. And,
okay.
We're all still loosely affiliated. One of the gentlemen just retired, but two of us are still involved heavily. So it's a great group of folks.
Right on. Now, what inspired you personally to get involved with Indigenous economic development?
That's a great question. I'm a first generation business owner, and I had my grandfather, who was a full-blooded Choctaw gentleman, who worked in, actually went to Haskell, well, he was in boarding schools, and then went to Haskell Indian University, then Indian College, and then after that, he went to work on the Navajo Nation, and he was just a really jovial fellow, very, very charismatic, and had a lot of spunk to him. I'm one of five siblings, and he had a role for each of us. And mine was to become an entrepreneur. My older brother was supposed to be a lawyer. My sister was supposed to be a doctor. I was supposed to be an entrepreneur. Then I had two younger sisters. So when I did actually start a business at the age of 26, I started an advertising firm, taking some of the folks that as clients that I worked with at an advertising agency in Los Angeles because of problems with the operations of that agency. I was, fulfilling what my grandfather's prophecy or vision was for me personally. And I was reached out by a technical support agency that had found me in the database for Caltrans, which is the California Department of Transportation. I had recently gotten certified as a Native American woman-owned business. And they found me, and I don't want to say they took me under their wing, but it provided me with, opened my eyes to things that I never thought about before. After that, I founded my business in 1988. And then, as I said, 1994, which was 6 years later, we started the American Indian Chamber. We had seen, how Minnesota was doing it, and it was, you know, the birth of American Indian economic empowerment. And so what it motivated me was, at the time, some of the folks didn't have as much ties to their culture. And what had happened was, I'd sit there in the room, and I was very quiet, believe it or not. And I'd listen to this stuff, and I was like, oh my goodness, the conversation. We really need to embrace our culture and mix it and meld it in with entrepreneurial efforts. And so that was what motivated me, moving the culture into more of our business operations and learning that capitalism, and I know that might be a bad word for some in Indian country, is not something that should be excluded from Indian country. My grandfather and my grandmother always said, don't. My grandmother was Prayban Potawatomi, which is what I'm enrolled in. Do not rely on the tribe for anything. I mean, it's good to have the tribe, good to be culturally connected, but do not ask for the handouts. Make your own way in this world. So that's what kind of motivated me.
Right on.
So, Tracy, what were some of the early challenges that the chamber faced, and how did it grow into what it is today?
Well, the interesting thing was, we're out here in California, and it's very embracing of diversity out here, which is wonderful. However, we're a very small population. We're the largest population of American Indians in the country is in California, but we're very spread out, and so it's not like a pocket where you can go say, oh, go to Chinatown, you find all of that culture or whatever. So the challenges that we had were multiple. One is making sure that our voices were heard. The second was finding resources. I to say it right out, you need money to operate a business association. The third was identifying verifiable, federally enrolled, 51% certifiable American Indian-owned businesses. The fourth was introducing the concept to the tribes about what a business association for us might look like to include tribes, corporate America, government agencies, local governmental bodies, and of course, American Indian, Alaska Native, verifiably owned businesses. And then, so those were the main challenges. And then again, the melding of the culture into our business operations and making us unique. In the fact that we are a unique population, we do have special needs requirements with the federal acquisition regulations and other things that differentiate us from a minority group. We always say, I hope you guys would agree, we're not a minority group, we're a political body, we're citizens of our nations. And, if out here we have a beautiful Hispanic culture, and they're numerous. And they kind of just take over sometimes the room because they have numbers,
Sure.
and we do not have that kind of numbers. We're 1.5% of the population nationally and here in California. So that was a challenge to start with,
Sure.
getting our footing, and it's very much more complex than I would think in other diverse communities, efforts or just a general business association for all types of people.
So, Tracy, how does the chamber support Native entrepreneurs who are just starting out?
Oh, well, we have a wonderful program. We've been doing this for almost 3 decades now. It's called How to Start a Business on and Off a Reservation. And we go out, and it's almost a full day program where we take Native entrepreneurs out and our chamber team. And we discuss from a peer-to-peer standpoint on how to start a business. And it's pretty, I remember when I started my business at the age of 26. I mean, how do you get your sales tax resale number? How to get a contractor's license? How to get a business license? Does your tribe have uniform commercial codes? We research all that. And then when we go out to do these workshops, we used to do we tried to do it on notebooks and pads and get real cool digital, but it just seems easier to do it in a notebook. So we hand out a printed notebook, and people just take notes and go from there. And It's really empowering for folks to just, I can't even tell you. We just did one last fall, and people were so thankful because they don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So how to get signed up in SAM.gov, how to, just a myriad of things that you need to know to start a business that we don't have. If you're just new starting a business, we don't have that in your mindset yet. And many of our people, as you might recognize, are first generation business owners. Now, as we've been more empowered over the last few decades, there's more second, third generation, but we don't have that innate culture of, here's where you go get your business license. Here's, where this happens. And so we provide a peer-to-peer support that is unlike any other, I think, in the country.
Good job. Good job. You formed a lot of partnerships with major corporations. Now, how do these relationships benefit native-owned businesses?
Well, we're also very proud of that. Last year, and we legitimate, other people claim they do this, our Apex legitimately did over $1 billion in federal contract driven for our people. And our corporate contracts probably are almost that much in dollars every year. And we've been very fortunate that a few corporations have taken us under their wings, and they have
Nice.
strong supplier diversity efforts. And the reason, one of the main reasons is they've taken us under their wings is they see that we've earnestly have the effort to put in to make sure that the work that we're doing is sustainable, is for sustainable businesses, and two, that our businesses are yay verily. And I'm going to use the word real American Indian Alaska Native owned businesses that are not just fronts or from people who feel it in their heart that they're Indian. And I'm not saying we identify who's Indian. We let the tribes do that and the Alaska Native villages. But if you have people coming in that are just politically disconnected maybe from their tribe or making up stuff to think that they're going to take advantage of the Indian incentive programs, that's not going to work. You're just going to, you're going to anger all of us Indians. So we're pretty hardcore about that, and we keep our stuff very small because of that. We want to make sure that everybody's welcome as long as you are who you say you are going to be and you're doing the right thing. And we do that not to be mean to people or to be exclusive or to be, I don't know, just whatever. But we do that because we have seen over the years that if you are not who you say you are, if you don't do who say what you're going to want to do, then you won't be in business long. And it just makes us sad that Native Americans may get caught up in that whirlwind. And so,
And it adds to the statistic, right?
Right. There goes another failure. There goes somebody else. So corporate America realized that and saw that we were, doing the right thing. And so, you have like these Indian incentive programs from the DoD. If you have an aerospace prime that's been burned from someone they met at a conference who says they're Indian owned, and then they use them, they haven't done the right vetting of that business because they met them at an Indian conference and they thought that, if they're here, they must be that, then that's a problem. And we've seen that over and over again, So it's that's why we've gotten to and that many supporters. We're also very fortunate that we're in California, and there's a lot of corporations that have been or are based in California or look to California. We're the fourth largest economy in the world, and when I go back home to Kansas, I'm from California, but I consider the reservation one of my homes. People always go, "Well, what's it like in California with all that?" And I said, "Yeah, the energy, the pace, the amount of contracting dollars is completely different than Kansas or Minnesota or Montana or wherever else. I'm just naming off, and I'm not saying we're better than. It's just different." And you've got to keep pace. You've got to get yourself in line to be competitive. And that's one of the things we do really well at our chamber is say, "Hey, look at this lady. She's got a $400 million construction firm. Go hang out with her for a little bit. Peer
Great.
support.
Yeah.
And so it's Yeah, we got that those kind of relationships that within our group that really work nicely, you know.
Are there any standout success stories of Native businesses or individuals who've benefited from chamber programs?
Oh gosh, there's dozens.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, and I won't say hundreds, you know, I'm not gonna go to that extreme because of the fact that we are a very small population, but I can definitely say dozens, you know, over 100, I'm
Right on.
sure. You know, when we have the amount of Native businesses that sponsor our events now, and these are individuals are, you know, that have businesses, let alone the tribes, you know, how out here in California and elsewise. But when you have that, it represents, you know, just the level of care and giving back to our community. So we've got a lot of really large construction firms. We have two that do several hundred million, individually owned corporations. We at one time had an Alaska Native gentleman who was a $3 billion natural gas
Wow.
trader. He sold his company to an international firm. We've got IT firms, you name it, we've got it. But really, actually, have a lot of construction prime people and subcontractors.
Today, our guest is Tracy Stanhoff, President of the American Indian Chamber of Commerce of California. Today we're learning about the history of the chamber, its programs, and the 2005 American Indian Expo, July 13th through the 15th in Rancho Mirage, California. A powerful gathering celebrating Native business, culture, and innovation. Contact them directly at 714-898-6364. That's 714-898-6364. For all the details. How has the perception of Native business evolved over the past decade?
That's interesting at question because at times, you know, people treat us like we're little peons, and at other times, like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. Then at other times, there's jealousy, because of the fact that you see a lot of our firms really doing well, and they say, wow, how can you guys do that? You know, and we get that pushback. Recently, I've been experiencing, which really angers me. In fact, I was yelling and screaming about someone who from another diverse community was yelling about the tribal 8A program and how that was upheld in the Trump administration. Now, we're not for anybody else not having an 8A program, but there is a unique and special difference with the tribal 8A program that people don't recognize, and over the years, it's been attacked. So, you know, we have commonalities with other business groups, but we walk our own walk, for the fact that we don't speak for any of our tribes in the chamber, and we have, you know, California's most wealthy. That's all you have to call it what it is. They're very wealthy and powerful tribes,
Yes.
and the perception is very mixed. Years ago, I had to go on to television and say, hey, we're all not gaming Indians. And yes, even the gaming Indians, we do pay taxes because Arnold Schwarzenegger, who had won as our governor, was fueling racist comments about our people. And it was not right. And we're going to stand up to anybody, you know. And so it's always a fun time.
Right.
And we're not going to back down from anything. So, you
Yes.
know.
How do you encourage the youth of today and future leaders to step into the world of entrepreneurship?
Good
Oh,
one.
that's a good You guys have good questions. Goodness.
I like that one.
you know, that's a good question because of the fact that, I give a tip on, if you're going to start a business, work in that business before you start it, number one. Number two, get educated to that business, meaning learn what you need to know to be equipped personally to do that business.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, we have a program, in addition to our How to Start a Business on and Off the Reservation, we have an annual youth expo, and it's just a 1-day thing. And it's coming up on July 15th. But we have a 1-day program where we introduce the youth to an entrepreneurial thought process, and they play a game, and it gets pretty fierce and competitive out there because they're competing for Disney park hopper tickets.
Yeah.
And so we teach him, we try to, in, you know, without personally just going, competition is good and you don't have to, you know, be a crab in a crab bucket and all those,
right,
those terrible things that have an Indian country, but at times, but we teach them that competition is good. Mm-hmm. You know, keep yourself in check, be creative and think like an entrepreneur, and they get 1 day. We wish we could do it more, but it's quite the process to get the youth, and it's quite the process for us to do it. And so we try our best. We also give out annually in each November. We've been giving out $80,000, over $80,000 in college scholarships to deserving Native students. And alone, we have one Indian business who is doing real well. In fact, he's an electrical contractor, and he put in the ocular scoreboard, which is that circular thing at SoFi Stadium, if you've ever seen it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he works with SoFi and other groups out here, especially in Los Angeles airports. And he gave $50,000 alone. On,
wow.
Yeah, so we give about $5,000-$10,000 scholarships, right, in his name. And he's, you know, done a tremendous. And geez, I can remember when he would show up to the meetings, and I remember when he met the gal from Los Angeles World Airports that was in charge of procurement, you know, cultivation over there.
Sure.
And now he's, you know, a very large company
doing it.
And mm-hmm. Yeah. And his, it's pretty exciting.
Let's talk about the expo. What can attendees expect from this year's American Indian Expo at Agua Caliente Resort and Rancho Mirage?
Yeah.
Well, first, they're going to expect a lot of fun. You know, the way I mean a lot of fun, it's kind of just good-natured fun, because of the fact that we're out there to get your business. And to me, there's nothing more exciting at times than to get some business, right, and make some money.
Shake hands.
You know, mm-hmm. So yeah. You know, it's not a big party. It's very focused on procurement, though.
Yes.
So you have to understand what we do to make the most of what you're going to. This isn't a party. Don't think you're going to go out and eat steak and have cocktails every night. This yeah. is an and it's
Man,
not
really.
No, I'm sorry. We do have a steak dinner, but you're going to be sitting in a room with you know, a few hundred other people,
right,
listening to speeches and sure. and doing the thing. And this is what's fun to me, is you get to learn and rub elbows with people who yes. buy millions of dollars of contracts every year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go out and dance your heart out, that's fine. But you better be suited up at 8 o'clock in the morning to get back into work and be nice and get ready to roll up your sleeves and again, rub elbows with those who want to do business with you.
Right on. And, now, this is what dates?
July 13th through the 15th. It's out at Agua Caliente. Yes, it is very hot, so hydrate, and we do provide a lot of water. You will be fed very well, so, you know, be ready for some stretchy pants at the end of the conference.
Count me in.
Yeah.
And the food is really good at Agua Caliente, and as you folks said at the beginning, we try to buy Indian as much as possible.
Right.
You know, you'll see us at a tribal property 9 times out of 10, or we buy from our partners. You know, we've got good partners with the Walt Disney Company and stuff. So we do a couple events at their properties every year. And I think the tribal people appreciate that because it gives them an excuse to go to Disneyland and everything else, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yes. And one last question. Why is the Expo such an important platform for showcasing Native innovation, culture, and business?
Because it's small, and it's a platform where you're going to get your money's worth. We keep it as cheap as possible, and cheap is good in this instance. You know, we're not here to make money off of the Expo. We're here to make everybody whole and economically viable. So if, you know, if we want to make money, it's run by a bunch of Native entrepreneurs. We make money because our businesses are successful, not because we're lining the our pockets from operating an Expo. So you're going to have good food. You're going to have fun. You're going to look at this from a standpoint. I hope that you'll be exposed to things and people in a good way, not in a bad way.
Right on.
And the people going there, for the most part, are wanting to do business with you.
Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right you on. Just have to navigate your way through who is going to be looking for your products or your services. And sometimes it doesn't happen right at the first time you go. I always say I used to go to Indian conferences for 6-7 years. And finally, one day it just connected and I got my first job from a major corporation. In the meantime, I had enough business to sustain myself. But, I sure hope everybody gets a job from going to a conference and doing well with us.
Yes. And bring extra business cards for sure. I always run out every time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
In fact, one of my staff was saying, because one of our sessions is called Pitching and Tipping, because we have a lot of businesses that want to give a pitch, to everybody and tell everybody, shout out to the world what they do.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have a lot of well-established businesses that are like, I don't want to get up and pitch. So I said, okay, then you are obligated to provide a tip. And you just gave the tip.
There you go. Right.
Bring your business card.
You can't pitch, you got a tip.
And we're not talking about cows.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, Tracy, congratulations on all your accomplishments, and thank you for bringing and spending time with us today, bringing us good news about the Expo and all your programs. And you don't want to miss the Expo for sure.
Oh, we really appreciate you having us on again. I keep saying the same thing, I know, but it's a good event. But you better darn well be ready to rock and roll with us.
Right on.
And yeah.
Well, stay in touch with us.
I'll hold back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you stay in touch with us.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we get involved in our day-to-day and we move too fast, but it's all good. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. If you'd like to support our program, you can stop by to donate at our homepage at indigenousinthenews.org. You can also find all of our past shows on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a great week and safe journeys. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.